came from outer space to fill the world with terror, to bring you unforgettable suspense.
It's indestructible. It's indescribable. Nothing can stop it.
Shock Tales with Johnny Thunder.
Sporting his bugle boy jeans, piano tie, and mesh tank top from Chess King, it's your master of ceremonies, Johnny Thunder.
Ew, hey, brother, I saw your Throwback Thursday Chess King tribute. Come on.
You like that? Yeah. Big up to Chess King.
Yeah, dude, I rocked the mesh sleeveless shirt before Right Said Fred did, so you know what? Screw you and everybody else. My silver members only jacket with the epaulettes? Yeah.
Shock Tales is brought to you by...
Surprisingly, I'm drinking a Victory Dirt Wolf Double IPA. What about you, genius?
Grapefruit Kush. Live life au natural. And wake and bake to a fresh bowl of Grapefruit Kush. Please smoke responsibly.
Good Lord. First off, I wanted to start by noting the death of Dave Brocky, founder and lead singer of GWAR, who died on March 23rd at the age of 50. Although the cause of death has still not been confirmed, drugs are being investigated as the reason. The member of GWAR, however, are going forward with the annual GWARBQ event on August 16th in Richmond, Virginia. And there's also going to be a public memorial for Brocky on August 15th at the same location. Rest in peace, Odorous. Now, some better news, some happier news, but for an equally dead individual. I want to say congratulations to horror host Uncle Ted. Now, Uncle Ted was my horror host growing up in northeastern Pennsylvania.
Your very own?
Yes, he was. You own a church? Yeah, so I grew up with this guy. He was inducted into the Horror Host Hall of Fame on March 22nd in Cincinnati, Ohio. Edwin Uncle Ted Robb was from Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania, and hosted Uncle Ted's Ghoul School from 1974 to 1982, and then Uncle Ted's Monster Mania from 84 through the mid-90s. He was a great host. He was an older gentleman, did magic tricks. He wore a fez and a suit. He started off in one of the morning kid shows up there, and just a real class act, just a really great guy, funny guy. Like I said, I was fortunate enough to grow up with him in the Northeast Pennsylvania.
Him and Nephew Ned?
Yeah, Nephew Ned came on a little bit later. He was kind of funny, too. And then down in the Philadelphia affiliates, of course, I had Stella with Saturday Night Dead on Channel 3, which was also awesome.
You had two horror hosts in the same area?
Yeah, and then Saturday mornings, of course, dude, we had Commander USA on USA Network, which just, you know, kicked total ass. But just wanted to say congratulations and scream out to Uncle Ted. Now, dude, you might look around the bar this month and we see some new artwork on the walls, right?
Very fancy.
Yeah, I know. Cannibal Holocaust prints from Gray Matter Art and Grindhouse Releasing. These things came out on April 8th. They're 24 inches by 36 inches. They feature the art of Randy Ortiz. They had a limited edition run. 250 regular editions for $45 and 125 variants for $55. Go over to graymatterart.com. They're really, really sweet prints. The infamous, the classic Cannibal Holocaust is one of the famous, or again, infamous video nasties over in the UK. There's a new DVD, a 3-DVD set coming out called Video Nasties, Moral Panic, Censorship, and Videotape. For the first time ever on DVD, the trailers to all 72 films that fell afoul of the UK's Director of Public Prosecutions are being featured alongside this brand new documentary in this 3-disc set. Now, briefly, because we don't have a lot of time, I don't know if you know much about the whole video nasty kind of moniker over in the UK.
No, I don't know anything about it.
Yeah. That's the clue.
Would you regale us?
I would love to. More anything, more everything. It's a colloquial term over in the UK, popularized. But basically, remember the whole Tipper Gore anti-bad music kind of thing we had here in the 80s?
Yeah.
Well, when videotapes came out in England in the 80s, they kind of had the same thing in terms of horror movies and videotapes. So their film censors didn't have jurisdiction over this. So what happened was a lot of these parents groups and religious groups went to local prosecutors to go after the filmmakers for criminal prosecution, and a lot of the films were actually banned. So those were the video nasties. There's a whole list of them. The first disc is a brand new documentary about this whole phenomenon. It's going to feature interviews and a lot of information about what happened during that time period. You know, was it a violation of their civil liberties? The suppression of free thought, the suppression of film. It's really an interesting era, especially in England. Disc 2 is going to have 39 trailers of the films that were actually prosecuted and then banned in the UK. These flicks, like I said, are Cannibal Holocaust, Driller Killer, I Spit on Your Grave, Zombie Flesh Eaters. And then the third disc, there were another 33 titles that were initially banned, but then later were acquitted and removed from the list and were later made available to the public. These flicks, again, Deep River Savages, The Evil Dead, Toolbox Murders, Zombie Creeping Flesh. It's just a crazy time period over in England. They've had several periods of censorship over there, but the Video Nasties list is always sort of this infamous, you know, have you seen this one? Have you seen this one? You know, check, check, check. I'm really excited about this project, so look forward, I think, on sale on Amazon. Now, of course, Chris, because you're so observant, you've also noticed there's a couple new putrid prints on the Boz bookshelves. The first one I want to recommend is called Salem's Lot, Studies in the Horror Film, edited by Tony Earnshaw. It goes for $40. This book documents the gestation and production of Toby Hooper's 1979 film adaptation of the King novel. There's plenty of interviews with the cast and crew. They've got images and photographs, deleted scenes from the teleplay, posters, artwork, etc. The paperback is currently available. Hardcover edition coming out June 15th. Excuse me, if you want to head over to centipedepress.com, you can find the 411. The other book is Subversive Horror Cinema, Countercultural Messages of Films from Frankenstein to the Present by John Towson. This thing goes for $45. Now, we all know that horror filmmakers have used the genre and the shock value it affords to challenge the status quo during times of crisis and national trauma, including periods like the Great Depression, the Cold War, Vietnam, and post 9/11 America. So spanning the decades from the 30s to the present, this critical text examines works including 1931's Frankenstein, Cat People, The Woman from 2011, and American Mary from 2012, and how these can be considered subversive.
Hey, Johnny, you're a wicked good reader.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Hey, I should join some other podcasts where you just sit there and read at you, right?
Oh, believe me, there's plenty out there.
There's plenty of them. I'm sending out my resumes now.
And they'd be glad to have you.
I'm sending out my resumes.
You are such a talent.
I am. I truly am. I'm the wind beneath
your wings. You've been telling me for years.
I know. Well, finally, you'll believe me. Now, hey, let's all go to the movies, right? Silver Scream time.
Suspenseful, terrifying,
so fantastic, so degrading.
The Silver Scream.
Video on demand May 1st and limited theaters June 6th is The Sacrament.
Aren't those the guides? What are they doing with guns?
You don't know what's really going on here. This place is not what it seems.
Hey, what's happening? These people want to leave. They have their suitcases packed. I have no idea what to do.
Sam, do not get involved in this!
Please take my daughter.
What?
We can't let them go back to New York. No, this is the last sacrament.
Hey!
We've talked this one up before, man. This is the latest effort from Ty West, who did House of the Devil and The Innkeepers. Totally looking forward to it. It's gotten some great buzz on the film festival circuit, so I'm definitely looking forward to checking out The Sacrament. A film coming video on demand May 8th and limited theaters on June 13th is one that I will never, ever see. Sad to say, I will never have to sit through All Cheerleaders Die.
All four of you died last night.
Anything about this?
Is it our fault chicks can't drive for shit?
This is a remake of the 2001 film of the same name, and of course it's the dreaded comedy horror thriller about a teenage high school girl and her plot to get revenge on the captain of the football team, but her plan turns deadly when Chris, wait for it. Phantasmagorical elements are tossed into the mix. What?
Phantasmagorical?
Yes.
Okay.
Phantasmagorical is one of my favorite words. I finally got to cross that off my bucket list. I've gotten to use that term on Homcast.
Expialidocious.
There you go. Yeah, this is from the same cat, Lucky McGee. Yes, Lucky McGee. That's going to be my name on the next Homcast, the next podcast.
Why isn't the guy named Lucky is never lucky?
I don't know. But you know what? He was lucky when he directed and he did the film May from 2002. That's a film that if you've never seen it, seek it out. It's a very dark, disturbing.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a wicked pissa of a horror flick. Really, it's an unsung, I would say, modern day kind of cool flick, and I dug it. So check that one out if you've never seen it.
All right, that was a little freebie you just tossed in.
Yeah, you like that?
Yeah, wow. That's spice things up.
Yeah, kiss me while you... Anyway, May 16th, there's a little independent flick, budgeted about $215 million, dude. Have you ever heard of Godzilla?
What?
Perhaps. I don't even know how to even talk this up, dude. It's Godzilla.
You know, I love Matthew Broderick.
Oh, my God. I think this one looks a little bit better. This one has Bryan Cranston, Elizabeth Olsen. I've seen a bunch of other people.
Right there with Bryan Cranston. Bryan Cranston has been killing it lately. He's not just going to do a piece of shit.
Right.
In 1954, we awakened something.
Well, there's nuclear tests in the Pacific. Not tests.
They were trying to kill it.
You have no idea what's coming.
Can you kill it?
So man is thinking nature is in our control. And not the other way around.
Yeah?
I think it looks great. Everybody seems really excited about it. I know there's a lot of people excited about the trailers.
The trailer's cool. I mean, the ones I've seen.
It's just weird because, you know, we're in this sort of postmodern era where we've seen so many Godzilla films. You've seen maybe the reinvention for our time called Cloverfield, you know? We've seen last summer, it was, what the hell was the big giant robot sock'em movie?
Oh.
Pacific Rim.
Yes.
You know, so the danger is a lot of people might go into this going, nah, you know, I didn't like the last Godzilla, or, well, I just saw Pacific Rim, it's the same thing, but... Yeah, I think you have to go in with an open mind, and especially, like we said, the fans of Godzilla, you know, all us kids growing up with the giant, you know, monsters we're looking forward to this. I think the scope and the scale of the monster, the scope of the destruction and the mayhem and everything else with, again, cutting-edge 2014 technology, it looks badass. I think it's going to be a big, fun, loud summer monster movie, and that's exactly what I want this to be.
And damn it, you like your monsters.
Yes.
I like me monsters too. I grew up, that's the creature double feature every Saturday afternoon.
Yep.
I watch that freaking thing. My mom's like, could you go out and play? I'm like, I'll play street hockey after I'm done with the creature double feature. And sure. I would hang in. And I would try to watch it until I got kicked out of the house. I loved that.
Hey, yes, Chris, I'm glad you asked. I do have two reviews. I did see a couple of films.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
I thought we were done already. I'm sorry.
Yeah, and as promised, I actually, in fact, did see Wolf Creek 2, which
Woo!
I said last month. Yeah,
nice.
I actually kept my word. I checked out another flick called Afflicted. Now, Afflicted is... a found footage film written, directed, and starring Derek Lee and Cliff Prowse.
All right, I'm Cliff Prowse.
And I'm Derek Lee, and tomorrow we're going on a year-long trip around the world!
We're going to film the entire thing, and we're going to post it online as a travel blog.
It's going to be epic.
It's about two best friends who decide to travel around the world for a year and record and post their travelogue online in real time for the world to see. However, this trip of a lifetime takes a dark turn when one of them is attacked and subsequently struck by a mysterious affliction. It's a little bit weird because you're not sure what happened. The cat wakes up and he's been attacked. He's bleeding. He seems to show all kinds of weird symptoms. He has problems eating. He has some sunlight sensitivity. And it was funny because at first, you know, I wasn't really sure where this was going or what was going on. Is it going to be a zombie film? Was it going to be just sort of a medical thriller? And it turns out it's a vampire flick. So you have this found footage vampire flick, and it documents how one would adjust to becoming a vampire, a bloodsucker, sort of in a grounded real-life situation. You know, I've always complained in the past about the found footage films. I've said, oh, God, I'm so tired of them. I'm burned out on them. But I've kind of thought about that recently, and I've said, look, much like early on we used to complain about the remake phenomenon. Oh, God, here's another remake. They're remaking. We started off Friday the 13th, Halloween, Nightmare on Elm Street. Everything we've ever grown up with has been remade, and we complained about that. And I said, well, look, you know what? If you don't want to see the remakes, go back and watch your originals. Ignore this. Kind of the same way I think found footage, obviously, it's been going on and on since, again, let's go back to, full circle, Cannibal Holocaust. And it's here to stay. So to just complain about it and dismiss them as, I hate found footage, it might be a little short-sighted. I still would prefer to see something actually directed and have a feel to it in terms of an actual director. But then again, these are directed in some sense of that word. And I did dig that in a weird way. We've never really seen a found footage vampire film, I don't think. And it was interesting. I dug it. I was surprised because I went into this not really knowing anything about it. As I said, I didn't really know anything about it beyond there's these two guys traveling around and it's found footage. And my thing is always, please explain to me why you have a camera pointed at the action at all times. If you can give me a rational, real-world justification for that, sweet. And I can buy into the reality a little bit more. Here, there was a reason and explanation, so I dug that a little bit. Finally, when they realize what's happening, it's almost sort of, if anybody's seen Chronicle, where it's this real-world sort of take on people getting superpowers or how you would deal with developing, you know, you're an X-Man, but you're developing your mutant powers in the very beginning. So you see the guy doing kind of some cool stuff. He's jumping, he's leaping, he's running as fast as a car. But then slowly the bloodlust takes over and it gets real dark and gets a little bit weird. I think it falters maybe three-fourths of the way through the film. The ending isn't as, I would say, much of a payoff as you would want as a viewer. But all in all, taken in total, I dug it. I think you could do much worse for a $6 on-demand flick. A little bit different, real short, it moves fast, likable characters, likable actors, hour 15, hour 20, and it was entertaining. So if you dig vampires and if you like found footage, I think this is something to check out.
Sweet.
Yeah. And Wolf Creek 2.
What the bloody hell are you buggers doing out here?
In this world, there's people like me. And there's people like you.
Did you get hit?
And people like me eat people like you.
Once again, the Outback becomes a place of horror as unwitting tourists become the prey for crazed serial-killing pig hunter Mick Taylor. Now, again, I don't know what else to say about this. I joked about it last time where I said, well, the trailer looks cool. It kind of looks like the first one. And it basically is. So, I would say this thing is, it's bloody, it's brutal, it's grimy, dirty, ugly, down and, you know, dirty, mean kind of a flick. Again, if you dug the first one, I think you'll like this one. The only problem to me, a little bit, and I read a few other reviews that kind of had the same thing, same opinion. You get maybe a little too much of Mick Taylor in this one. Mick is out center, almost maybe a main character in this one. The opening sequence almost positions him as an anti-hero where you want to have to identify with him. There's a little bit more joking, a little bit more one-liners, a little bit more black comedy. So maybe along the lines of, you know how Freddy, maybe in the first Nightmare, was completely balls-to-the-wall scary, and then it kind of gets a little jokier and jokier and funnier and one-linier. Write that down. That's classic English.
I'll contact Webster. Have him put it in the dictionary.
Yes, I know. Hey, everybody, I know. Revenant would never say one-linier, but hey, look who you're dealing with. So there's a little bit of a danger there where he's maybe not as scary or cryptic as he was in the first flick, but if you're looking for a little bit more of the same from the first one, I think you'll dig this one. The Australian Outback in the cinematography and the filming of this thing is its own character. It is a horrible, dark, awful, godforsaken place where everything there wants to kill you. Not only the serial killer, the animals, the outback, the wildlife, everything there just wants you dead. There's a very foreboding feel to the cinematography. The landscape really is depressing and dark. And the extended, I'd say last, I don't know, 45 minutes, I actually was drawn into the film. You're in this cat and mouse game with Mick and his victim, and it's off-putting. You're off balance. There's some humor. There's a lot of gore. There's some blood, and it's a little freaky towards the end. So, surprisingly, and I don't know whether this is just because I'm getting soft in my old age, dude, I dug this one too. So we got two winners. We got two winners.
winner, chicken dinner, y'all.
Yeah, I really dug both of these. Again, I was in, you know, the comfort on my couch, and I was half loaded, you know, for both of them. But nah, I dug them. Yeah. So next time, unfortunately, I will be back, and we'll be back. We'll be drunk, and we're gonna have a review of Godzilla. All right, brother. I'll see you next month.
Until then.
Until then,
hashtag GFY.
GFY and Johnny Thunder saying, stay scary.
I'm going now. Heaven help you.
Please like and follow the podcast. Stalk us on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. Links in the description. And help us by sharing Hauntcast with all your Haunt and Halloween brethren. Until next time, stay scary.